Bibles out this morning, I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Once you find Luke 22, I want you to find verse number 28. Luke chapter 22, verse number 28. And then let's stand, if we could, out of reverence to the Word of God and preparing ourselves to hear the preaching. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start with verse number 28. I know we don't have a problem with this because we kind of attend to it, but make sure if you have a cell phone that you don't play with it during church, and make sure it's not going to ring during our church service. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 28, it says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Look back at me, if you will. Notice Jesus warns Peter and says, Satan wants to use you. Satan wants to use you. I call the sermon this morning, I call it, "By who will you be used? By who will you be used?" And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, all the personality in the world would not match up to thy Spirit's power. So, Lord, put personality aside, and might thy power be present in this meeting this morning. We've come from all over the county. We've come to this place. Some rode a bus, some walked. Some in a very nice car, some in a car where they wondered if they'd even make it to church. But God, we came all with the same need. We need a touch from heaven in a variety of ways. Do what only you can do. You can take a variety of people coming from a variety of places and a variety of techniques of transportation, and you can meet all those needs in one service. And only you can do that. So meet the needs of these people today through this sermon, please. Holy Spirit of God, do the work that you do so well, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'll read to you again there from Luke 23:31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Jesus had shared with his disciples the Lord's Supper, and he is now predicting Peter's denial. And when it mentions Simon here, it's talking about Peter, and make sure you give me your attention. You know, I can always tell when you're not paying attention. I hope that's obvious. This auditorium isn't big enough for you to hide the way what your eyes do and what you glance at and when you get tickled within yourself. So look this way. Here is Peter, and God and Jesus is saying, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And he said, "You need to understand something, Peter. Satan desires to have you." And that's what he said. Peter had a tremendous potential. Wow. But Satan wanted to use him. Now, Jesus wanted to use him. I don't think we always see it in a clear view. When you hear someone say, "God wants to use you," and we would all say, "Okay, that makes sense." But do you realize there is a competition that is taking place about the use of you? Satan wants to use you, but God wants to use you. And one of the two wins out. Per incident of life or each day in life. But so you all know, this week, God wanted to use you, but Satan wanted to use you, and one of the two did. You say, no, preachers. Now, God didn't use me this week, but I sure didn't let Satan have me. If God didn't use you, Satan did. You see, if God is using you, then Satan at that moment cannot. But if Satan is using you at that moment, then God is not. Jesus says here, he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." And Jesus was saying, you know, I wanted to use you, but Satan is trying to use you. And you say, why? You understand, I believe that Peter was a man of tremendous, tremendous potential. And I think Peter had something to offer. But did you know something? Everybody here has something to offer. Now, I know that Peter would struggle some. We all know that there came a moment when Peter denies Christ and Peter curses and he actually lies. But I'll tell you something else about Peter. I am sure glad that on the day of what we now call the day of Pentecost, I am surely glad that Peter let God use him on that day. Do you understand on the morning of the day of Pentecost, Satan got up and God got up and they both looked at, God never sleeps, but God looked at Peter and both of them said, I want to use Peter today. Satan said, I want to use Peter today. And God said, I want to use Peter today. And either God or Satan would use Peter on the day of Pentecost. Jesus already told Peter, said, you better know. Satan wants you. He has a plan for you. Satan wants to use you. You know, somehow we think that Satan just wants to get me and destroy me. Now, I'm not sure he wants you totally destroyed. He wants to keep you healthy enough that he can use you. Why take you in overnight, just destroy you and kill you? Why not keep you going? Keep you on the team? Why not help you to become productive for him? Well, I am very glad on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and he started through his day, on that day, he made sure it was God that was going to win the competition as to who gets to use Peter on that day. And so you all know, yesterday, on Saturday, you woke up. God said, I want to use her. I want to use him today. And Satan said, I want to use her. I want to use him today. Somebody used you yesterday. And I wonder who it was. The sermon will be quite simple today. By who will you be used? Let me say, first of all, you should want to be used. Everybody here, you should want to be used. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here God said, I want to use you. He's the master. And it says, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You and I should want to be used. Why would a saved person not want to be used by God? Well, there are reasons. I mean, if you're stingy, you won't want to be used by God. If your life is all about you, and basically in this life, it all becomes about our physical pleasures and the things that we can gather. That's basically what would get you off track. If you've made your life all about your physical pleasures and everything you can gather in this life, you might find yourself living a stingy life as to where you don't want to be meat for the master's use and you don't want to be prepared for every good use. But look, folks, when you wake up in the morning, somebody plans to use you. We lose track of the fact that there's a spiritual warfare going on out there. There is a bad and there is a good. There is a devil and there is a God. They don't take the week off and just show back up on Sunday and say, okay, let's start this battle again. It's Sunday. No. They were battling on Monday over you. And they were battling on Tuesday over you. And they were battling on Wednesday. I realize when you get off work, you clock out and you head home and you say, work's behind me. Did you know the devil never clocks out? And God never clocks out. There's always a competition. And I don't know what you think the competition is over. Say, it's over territory. They want territory. Yeah, they want territory. But we're not talking about acreage out here in some farm part of our county where they're doing farming. That's not the kind of territory they're trying to take up. You say, what territory are they trying to assume? People territory. You, me, we're the goal. So every day we wake up, there's a devil and there's our God, and one of them, both of them, want to use you, and one of them is going to use you. The question is, who won on Monday? And who won on Tuesday? But you should want to be used. I think it'd be a wise idea when you woke up in the morning, you said, God, use me today. God, you use me today. Because remember, they don't take a break. The bell does not ring. And the official does not say, God, you go to your corner. Satan, you to go to your corner. human being, go take a little break, you know, get a drink of water, relax. There's no break. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. From the very moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb to the day that you die and are transferred to either heaven or hell, there's a competition going on in your life, and somebody is going to use you. You ought to want to be used, though. My pastor, he said that for many, many years, he said he prayed this prayer. He said he would pray every day, "Lord, help me to cross the paths of the ones that Jesus would help if he were alive today. Help me to cross their path today." He said he prayed that prayer every day. He said he would wake up in the morning and he would say, "Dear God, help me to cross the path of the one that Jesus would help if he were alive today. Then help me to help them." Wouldn't that be a good idea for us? I know you're going to agree with this. When you go to work and you're doing whatever you do in the secular arena, there's got to be days when you're saying, what's the purpose? What's this all about? And the truth is, you're right. That is just a means. That is just keeping you alive. It helps you to function in this society. But God didn't just give you that job because He wanted you to have that job. No, there were people that you were to touch, and there are lives that you're to influence, and there are things that you're supposed to influence. Let me say to everybody in here, your job in life, I think you ought to do it. I think you ought to do it right. You're a Christian, but that's not what your life is really all about. During a day, there's something you're to accomplish for God. We should want to be used. Maybe the reason why some of us don't want to change our lives, we don't want to conform to the image of Christ and conform to the standards or the convictions of the Bible, maybe it's because we have no intention of being used. I know this. I know the people that want to be used by God do not hesitate in changing their life to become what they need to become so that they might be used by God. People that don't want to be used by God, people that don't have a plan to be used by God, they're not in a hurry to conform to the image of Christ. It's not a big deal when the preacher says, "You ought to stop this, and you shouldn't be doing that." You say, "Well, what do I care? I'm not going to be used by God, or I don't have any plan of being used by God." But folks, everybody here is going to be used by somebody. You ought to want to be used. Do you know that piano? I really believe that piano wanted Sarah to use its keys today. The piano wants to be played. Golf clubs want a golfer to use them. Now, my golf clubs don't want me to use them. But I believe a golf club looks at the golfer and says, "Come grab a hold of me. Use me." I believe if that piano could talk, I think that piano would say, "Sarah, please. Come and I was." You understand, that piano was created for a purpose. What in the world good is a piano that sits in a building that's never used? So, a nice looking piano. Who cares what the piano looks like? We care what it sounded like. And you could have a very nice pair of golf clubs and you could show them to everybody that you know, but there's going to come a point when somebody's going to say, "You ever hit any balls with those things?" And the golf club would say, "Don't leave me in this bag. Get me out. Use me." Tools. This is going to be hard for some of you guys. Tools are to be used. Now, you'll have to forgive me, but I have a little different philosophy about a pickup truck than some. Did you know the back of a pickup truck is to be used? Now, I don't think you have to damage it, and you don't think you have to be mean to it, but I've had buddies through the years that wouldn't put anything in the back of their pickup truck, and I'm thinking, what are you thinking? What do you think the back of that truck is for? It's to haul something. And I think the back of the trucks that never get used, if they could talk, they would say, "Put something in here, please. Please, let me fulfill the purpose for which I was created." You know, books want to be read. Planes want a pilot to fly them. A fishing pole wants to fish. A football player wants a coach to use him. I was talking to Josh Kroom, and is Josh over in Children's Church working today? I was talking to Josh Kroom earlier, and they had a ball tournament, a week and a half ago or so. I can remember when I was in high school. I remember the very first time I made the ball team. I spent a lot of time going to ball games and watching from the bench. And I'm telling you, that'll eat you up. You're sitting on the bench. And every boy thinks he ought to be the one in the game right now. That wouldn't have happened. What just happened on the court right there? If I would have been in the game, that wouldn't have happened. Now, of course, in practice, I'd proven different, but I'm just sitting on that bench, and I'm over there, and I'm just biting at the bits. And you would think I had too much caffeine, but I had not. What was it? I was a ball player, and I didn't want to sit on the bench. I wanted to be used. I wanted to be a part of this thing. Hey, football players want the coach to put them in. Musicians want the maestro to lead them. A private wants the commanding officer to think they're worthy of being used. Huh. Good Christians are like this. They're on the bench. They just went in there. They went in. Let me show you the average Christian. They walk in the back door of the church. They come in and find the bench. They sit down, and they're not moving. I don't want off the bench. I just want to sit on the bench. You're not to be a bench setter. God didn't save you to put you on the bench. You ought to be sitting on that bench we call the pew. You ought to be sitting there like I did. Sitting there like, get me in the game. Get me in the game. I want to do something. I want to be involved. Make me a part. No, you're not trying to get out. You're trying to get in. You're not trying to quit the team. You're trying to get in the team. You want to be there. You want to be a part. You want to be in the game. You want to play. You want to shoot. You want to run. You want to do something. Christians are to be used. That piano wants to be used. I really believe that. You ever seen a dog that wants to be walked? They're ready to go. I mean, you ought to have the good sense that God gave a puppy that wants to take a walk. I mean, the master, Mrs. Owens and I were at Brother and Mrs. Croom's at the beginning of the week. What's that dog? Zoe. Zoe wanted out. Well, Brother Croom wasn't there. Mrs. Croom, she was sitting down. Zoe wanted out. Mrs. Owens and I, we walked toward the door to let Zoe out. When Zoe wants out, Zoe wants out. And Zoe is not to be told that Zoe can't be out of that moment. I opened the door this much. Do you know a dog this big can go through a door this much open? Phew! You know, so I wish to God that some of you were a little bit more like Zoe, and you wanted to get out there, and you wanted to be used of God. You wanted something to happen in your life. You didn't want to just sit on the bench, but you wanted to be involved. And so, hey, the Lord opens the door this much, and you're ready to zoom through that door to go get started. But the average Christian walks in, plunks her down, says, "Don't try to get me to move." No. Don't you want to be used? Doesn't the book want to be read? Doesn't the car want driven by a man? I only say that because Alyssa's steed is working on getting her driver's license. God help us all. Let me say, number one, you should want to be used. Let me say, number two, the devil wants to use you. He said in Luke 22:31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Now, his primary goal is to keep you from being used by God. If you're busy being used by the devil, then you're not being used by God at that moment. You're only going to do one of two things. If you're driving north, you're not going to be going south. If you're going right, you're not going to be going left. If you're going up, you're not going to be going down. If you're getting hot, you're not getting cold. And you have to understand, if the devil wants to use you, and he does, he knows that if he can keep you busy and use you, then you're going a different direction than what you would be going if God were using you. You know, the devil hates God. He wants to hurt God. He uses you and I. The devil will try to use you and I to accomplish his hurt toward God. Now, God has a will for our lives. If you do God's will for your life, that pleases God. If you don't do God's will for your life, then that displeases God, and the devil is going to try to keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. Now, for instance, did you know it's God's will that you come to church faithfully? You know what the devil do? The devil come along, and he'll say, if it's God's will that you be here this morning and you're here, I'm not trying to preach to the people that are here, but by way of the concept, let me explain. God's will that you be here this morning, and it is, and you're here. Thank God for it. But you know, if someone else said, well, preacher, I wasn't in church Sunday morning because I was out getting drunk. You'd say, well, getting drunk, that's bad. But really, the devil could get you to get drunk on Sunday morning. You just wouldn't be where you're supposed to be for God. But God's ultimate goal is that you be in church. But wait, wonder if you said to me, preacher, Sunday morning I decided to go down to Walmart and watch for little old ladies and carry their groceries to their car. So I'm not going to be in church. You know what the devil would say? Good deal. I'm for that. Well, I'm going to go get drunk. The devil would say, good deal. I'm for that. Why? Because the devil is for you not doing what God wants you to do. And if you don't want to do what God wants you to do and you're going to go do something bad, the devil says, fine, I just don't want you to do what God wants you to do. You say, well, you know what? I'm going to go do something that seems good, but I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. And the devil says, fine, I don't care what you do. You do what I tell you to do. You do what you want to do. You do what anybody else wants you to do. Just don't do what God wants you to do. And folks, listen, the devil wants to use you. He's trying to keep you away from God. He wants to use your body. He wants to use your body drinking liquor or to cause lust or to fornicate or adultery. Or take your body and let it set in some dead church somewhere. So, well, wait a minute. Well, look, as long as your body's not being used for what God wants it, I don't think the devil really cares a whole lot on how you arrange it. You go set in some dead, dry, liberal church where nobody ever gets saved, where they don't exalt the Word of God, and they're not right with God. Take your body, plunk it in there, or misuse your body in another way. Just don't do the right thing with your body. The devil wants to use your voice. Not to cuss, be hateful, to gossip, tell dirty jokes, sing wild songs. Or, by the way, he would also like to use your voice at a moment when you know you've been prompted to tell someone about Jesus and you choose not to and you bring up the ball game. Because what God wanted at that moment, God wanted you to witness for Jesus Christ and you chose not to. So, well, I wasn't cussing, I know, but you didn't fulfill the purpose of God using you. I think he wants to use our bodies. I think the devil wants to use our voices. I think the devil wants to use our children. The devil wants to use our children to do anything but what God would want to do with their lives. I think every one of us ought to rear our children to want the will of God more than anything else in their life. Say, how do you make a career choice? You do what God tells you to do. Parents, the wisest thing in the world you could do is, I wouldn't let a school counselor tell my kids what God told them to do. Say, well, you know, the economy necessitates that I go become this or go become that. You better do what God wants you to do with your life. See, the devil wants to get us off track. I don't even think young people ought to be what their parents want them to be. I think they ought to be what God wants them to be. Ultimately. Hey, the devil wants to use us. He wants to use our money. Stay with me now. This could be a little hard on a couple of you. He wants you to go waste your money on booze. He wants you to go waste your money on wicked pleasures. He wants you to go waste your money on drugs. Oh, but can I tell you something else? You could even go waste your money on good things as long as you don't do what you're supposed to do with your money. Illustration, don't have it written down here. But if I'm to tithe, if I'm to give the Lord 10% of my income, so God gave me $100. And I take the 10% I was supposed to give God, and I go buy beer with it. You would say, You shouldn't have done that. You use God's 10% to buy beer. That's bad. Okay. So you use God's 10% to go to McDonald's. And you're good? The issue is not solely what you spent it on, it's what you didn't spend it on. God wants to use you, but so does the devil. I think there are times when we can use our money not in a sinful way, but just not in the right way that we're supposed to use it. And that's wrong. It's wrong to use God's money even in a good way that's not the right way. I think God wants to use your personality. I think the devil wants to use your personality. There are people in here, you say, well, I'm not going to let God use my personality wrong. I'm not going to go sell drugs. I'm not going to lead a group of rebels. And you young people, those of you that develop a personality and you have a way with people, you better be leading those people toward Jesus Christ and toward what's right. Because if God could get a hold of your personality, He could do some wonderful things. But if the devil gets a hold of your personality, he'll have you leading a group of rebels, rebel teenagers that won't do right, that won't do the right thing. Hey, look, I personally don't think there's any reason in the world that a person that's a born-again Christian ought to be using their personality at a casino. Well, you know, there are places they're looking for people with personality. Be careful. The devil wants to use you. He wants to use your personality. He wants to use your body. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use your children. I think he wants to use our testimony. The devil would like to use our testimony. He can hurt the church. He can hurt the cause of Christ. He wants to use our time. And I think time is such a valuable thing. But again, I go back to the same thing. I mean, look, if it's church time, and you say, well, I wasn't watching pornography on the internet or on the TV or wherever you get it. I wasn't watching that with my time last Sunday night. Yeah, you were just not where you were supposed to be on Sunday night. Say, where was I supposed to be? Well, where God wants people. It's in church. So we weren't doing drugs. What were you doing that was more important than church? Disney? Is Disney still on Sunday night? When I was a kid, I wanted to be home on Sunday night because there was pizza and Disney. It was a big challenge for me when I went to church. Just remember, both God and the devil want to use you. They want to use you. They want to use your body, your voice, your children, your money, your personality, your testimony. They want to use your time. Do you know the devil wants to use your influence? Those of you that brush shoulders with business people, God knows in the business community there need to be some folks that will take a stand and be used of God. Those of you that are around professional people, God wants to use your influence. Community leaders, whether teachers or politicians, or God and the devil both are trying to use. Every human being alive gets up every day of their life. And just like Jesus had told Peter, Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants you. Every day you get up and you are either going to do what God wanted you to do with your day, or you're going to do what Satan wanted you to do with your day. And off and on through the day, there's a battle that goes on. And we're to want to be used. I think the devil wants to use your dreams. He wants to use your dreams. You know, I really believe this. If you're a business owner, I think you ought to dream of succeeding big, but it's not all about you. It's all about, can you help people? Will you do the right thing with that success? I think the devil wants to use your attitude. I think he wants to use your attitude about the church. I think the devil wants to use your attitude about the old time religion. I don't know how long I have been the pastor of this church, but God helping me, it is my intent that I plan to stick with the old-time religion no matter what. Amen. Now, there's an attitude that people can develop about that. You know, I'll just tolerate the old-time religion. No, you can have that attitude if you want. I'm not just going to tolerate it. I believe it. It's what I want. It's the primary purpose. But listen, remember, you ought to want to be used. But remember, Satan wants to use you. And then, obviously, God wants to use you. Let me read a verse to you. It says in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You were created for a purpose. You're not an accident. Hey, even if you were a shock to your parents, you weren't a shock to God. You say, was I planned? Yeah, by God, you were planned. Everybody here was created for a purpose. Now remember, you ought to want to be used. Okay, what are your options? Two options. Used by Satan, used by God. You say, well, I plan to do what I think is best for me. That's used by Satan. Because anything short of what God wants is what Satan wants. Remember, Satan doesn't care whether you're doing right or wrong as long as you're not doing the right thing that God wants you to do. He just wants to get you out of the proper frame of mind. So you were created to be used by God. What an honor. The creator of the universe wants to use man. More specifically, he wants to use you. You say, well, I'm kind of a visitor here today. Well, God brought you here to remind you that you were created for a purpose, and there were two people that want to use you. Satan wants to use you, and God wants to use you, and you're going to pick every day of your life who is going to get that day in the battle and who's going to win the battle that day. He wants to use you today. God wants to use you. He wanted to use you yesterday. He wants to use you someday. You say, I'm a sinner. Well, we're all sinners, but God, that's all he has to work with. So here I've got Satan on one side trying to use me, and I've got God on the other side trying to use me, and I ought to want to be used. And every day of my life, somebody's going to win the battle, and somebody is going to get to use me. I think of some of the people that went through that battle. You remember, Moses had some battles on his hands. And he had to choose, will I let God use me? Will I let Satan use me? Peter at a moment, he decided, one day he got up and he was cussing and denying and lying. Well, I think Satan was winning the battle on that day. Then he turned around, got it all straightened out, and he preached on the day of Pentecost. I think God won the battle on that day. And so God got to use him. Question for you. Everybody in the house, who used you Monday? Who used you Monday? Who were you used by on Monday? How about Tuesday? Who used you on Wednesday? So somebody did. God saved you to use you. Satan knows that. Satan's going to do everything he can to keep your day busy, with good or bad, as long as it's not God's plan. That's all he cares about. I have a whole sermon that I preach, and someday you'll hear it. It's called Satan doesn't want you to do what he wants you to do. Say, what do you mean by that? Satan really doesn't care what you do. You pick it. Let somebody else pick it. Let him pick it. He just doesn't want God picking it. He just wants to make sure he gets you off track on Monday so you don't fulfill the purpose of your Monday that was created by Almighty God. Satan wants to wake up on Tuesday and do anything he can to derail the accomplishment that God had intended for you on Tuesday. There are some of you, you click in with God a little bit like you do on a computer. You know, you click in with God on Sunday. You log on. And you thought that because you didn't log on Monday to find out what he wanted or if he needed anything, or on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, that you're released of that responsibility. The truth is, you should have logged on with God on Monday to find out what God wanted on Monday and did what God wanted on Monday, because if you didn't, then Satan got what he wanted out of your Monday. So I was here on Sunday. Well, you know, there's more than one day a week. And we're not the kind of Christians, and we don't practice the kind of Christianity that you just come down to the church and behave yourself and live like an animal the rest of the week. And you can't ignore the fact that there is a God, and God, did you know God wanted something of you on last Monday? Did he get it? Say, what did he want? I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what he wanted of you on Monday. It was my responsibility to find out what he wanted of me on Monday. Well, he wanted something from you on Tuesday. Did he get it? Now look, if you're backslidden, if you're away from God, he's not getting it. Be careful not to practice Sunday religion. Don't just practice church house religion. Well, I'm going to do right here on the church property. You're supposed to do right off the church property too. There are people in here, if I said, well, would you do this down at the church? You would say, I would never do that at the church. But then you'll do that at home? You don't think God's at your house? Well, probably not. God's not just at the church house. God's at your house too. God's at where you work. Let's remember, just like Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan, he wants you. Every day Satan wants me. Every day Satan wants you. Well, so does God. And you and I ought to approach this thing by waking up in the morning and saying, okay, God, what do you want today? I want to fulfill that purpose. And Satan will do everything he can to get us off of that purpose. And it doesn't matter to him how he derails you, as long as you're not doing what God wanted you to do. So, just remember, somebody's using you. Somebody's using you. They both, Satan and God, want to use you. And there's no halfway in between. Well, I'm not being used by either one. No, it's one or the other. It's like there's a heaven and a hell. People say, oh, no. There's a halfway in between. No, there's no halfway in between. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And you're either going to give a day to the Lord. And I know there's off and on. You might have served the Lord in the morning and not in the afternoon. But occurrences and throughout your day, somebody's winning that daily battle. You're either being used by one or being used by the other. Let's let God use us. And where you mess up your life is when you don't think it matters. That means Satan wins. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is this. Are you born again? Are you saved? If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Well, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, don't let Satan win. Don't let Satan win. You ought to get saved. You ought to get saved right away. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I died today I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Who here could testify and say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'll raise my hand in testimony of it. Could you raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. I know I'm saved. God bless you. You put your hand down. If you couldn't raise your hand saying you know you're saved, I wish that you'd get saved. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, Christian, just think about it for a minute. Did God get what he wanted out of you on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? Who here would say, God's spoken to my heart today about this thing? I realize that there are days when I know God didn't get what he wanted, and I didn't realize that meant the devil was getting what he wanted. And God has spoken to my heart. I need to make sure I'm more careful to give God what he wants so the devil doesn't get what he wants. Would you raise your hand and say, oh, I see it. I see it. You may put your hand down. We get so busy sometimes even doing good things that we forget the ultimate thing that God would have of us. And I don't say that to hurt you. I say that because I care about you and I don't want the devil tricking you into getting off track. You might need the altar for a moment. If you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. I get off track. I was not out doing what we'd call wicked, vile things. I was just so busy doing everything else, I didn't have time for God. That's why some of you didn't read your Bible this week. That's why some of you didn't pray. That's why some of you didn't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Yeah, hey, look, I know this congregation is not packed full of adulterers and druggies and alcoholics and all of that. I know that. But we get so busy doing just other things that we don't do the things that God wants. And that gets us out of God's will. You might need a moment at the altar not to confess what we'd call a bad sin. Might be the misappropriation of your time because you didn't do what God wanted you to do. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, why don't you come? Young, old alike. If you're not saved, come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. They both want to use you. By who will you be used? Every day you're either going to be used by one or the other. Keep yourself in submission to God so you can be used by God. And even if you're out doing something good, if there was something else God wanted you to do, you should have been doing the will of God. Everybody look right this way. If